A few weeks ago, some old friends from high school and I got reconnected, and they've been going to the gym, and they invited me and persuaded me to start going to the gym with them. It's been a fun experience so far. The other day, though, I was with my friend David, and we were meeting up at the gym, and we were meeting up at the weight room. I walk into the weight room there just a few days ago, and there's nobody else there except for my friend David sitting up by the weights. And there was one other person, but we'll talk about them in a moment. So David and I were in the front, and we're facing those mirrors. If you've ever been to a gym, you know the whole front wall usually is a mirror. And I've always wondered why those mirrors were there. Someone told me once they're there to make sure you're doing good form so you can watch yourself, make sure you're lifting properly. But I'm pretty sure that they're there just to be like, yeah, oh yeah, I've been working out for a while now, I can tell. Or they're there to be like, whew, I need to keep working out because I don't like what I see. So for whatever reason those mirrors are there, they were there. And we're talking in front of them, and my peripherals, I see this other guy here in the gym, and he's on a decline bench press. He's a big guy. He's benching a lot of weight. I'm not sure exactly how much, but it was an abundance. This isn't actually him. This is just the type of lift he was doing. So I see in my peripherals, I see this man lifting this huge amount of weight. And what I'm about to tell you happened really, really fast. Everything happened in a split second. He's pushing, and he's been doing several reps with these weights, and I see in the corner of my eye, I see him shaking with one of his last reps, and then his arms just give out, and the weight slams on his chest, and it rolls down onto his throat, and it pins up against these bars here. And he's upside down, and he's looking into the mirror, basically at us. He can't make any noise because of how much weight is on his throat. And he's trying to push this weight off. His arms are shaking, his eyes are bulging, and he's just in a panic. So as soon as we saw this all happening, David and I, we get up, and we sprint over to them, and we get the weights, and it's heavier than I thought. I get up and try to lift it up. But adrenaline was happening, and there was two of us, and so we were able to get the weights thrown off of him, and he comes up and talked with him just for a little bit. He thanks us, and then makes sure he's okay, and then he goes on his way. But I have burned into my mind his face at that moment, and I couldn't shake it. I still can't shake it. I don't know if I'll ever forget that man's face as he was suffocating there. As I was thinking about it, I came to realize that we all have weights that we're carrying. We all have a burden, if you will, that we're carrying. Our burdens are not weights at the gym, though. There are things like work, expectations of performance, and deadlines, and the stress that come with all these types of responsibility. Maybe just the purpose of trying to figure out, why do I wake up in the morning? Why do I do what I do? Is this having any meaning? Is this what I want to be doing? That's a huge burden. Another type of burden is money. Just wondering, are we going to make it? Do we have enough to put food on the table? Am I providing enough for my family? Been living paycheck to paycheck? Or perhaps maybe you have too much money and it's starting to influence your decisions and about what you value and about maybe depending on it, and maybe it's becoming an obsession. Money can be a burden. Another burden is family. Maybe in your marriage you're having struggles communicating with your spouse. Perhaps as a wife you're having trouble respecting your husband. And maybe as a husband, you're struggling with loving your wife. Perhaps you're avoiding conflict or an issue that's going on. You'd rather just compromise and not deal with it, sweep it under the rug, and in fact compromising the vows you've made to each other. And you struggle with this relationship. Speaking of relationships, just relationships with people can be a burden. Perhaps you've been hurt by someone. Maybe you've hurt someone. I know I've hurt people. I know I've been hurt. Something that happens in life, and that can be burdensome. Maybe there's been some friendships and relationships that have been broken, and that weighs on your heart. It can be a huge burden. What about identity? What do you see when you look in the mirror? In our culture and in this country, we're hearing hundreds of messages about who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like, what we're supposed to do. I get so many messages just from driving around town, turning on the radio or music. As a guy, I'm supposed to be this macho, independent, kick you in the face, do what I want type of guy. And I don't really care about you. I just care about myself. And that's who I am. And that's supposed to be cool. That's the world's message. I have my own message. If I look in the mirror and I judge myself. Maybe you do that sometimes. That's a burden. God also has a message for us about who we are and what we are. So there's all these messages coming to us, and we have to decide what we're going to listen to. And if we're not listening to God, that's a tremendous burden. What about bad habits? Bad habits can be a huge burden. Habits that hurt yourself by making your body dependent on certain stimulation or certain substance abuse. These habits have detrimental effects to your body, and also indirectly to people around you and to other human beings. Destructive habits and the guilt of them, perhaps even, are tremendous burdens. And then a really big one, of course, is just the past. You look back on your life and you see situations and parts of your life that you're not really happy of. I know I'm not very happy about my life. And I look back and I feel a weight. I feel a weight from the past. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe a scenario or situation left a stain or a scar that you still carry this morning. So the big question then is, what can we do with these burdens? Because we all carry them. Everyone we know carries them. What do we do with this weight, with this thing we're trying to push up off of us? What do we do with this weight? Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The first thing we do with all that weight, we go to Jesus with it. We go to Christ with that weight. We don't try to do it alone, because he tells us elsewhere in Scripture that we can't do anything without him. So we go to Jesus with that weight. You see here that he says, all who labor and are heavy laden. We all have these burdens. So Jesus is calling each one of us, every single one of us, to him. He's not partial. And he says there at the end that I will give you rest. It's a bold promise. It's not come to me and we'll see if this can work out. We'll see what we can do for you. He says, come to me and you will find rest. Amen. It's a bold promise. No one else can offer that but Christ. He continues to explain how we receive that rest. You come to him, but then what? You go to Christ, then what? He explains how this happens. The next verse, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you're like me, and not a very good speller, when I first hear the word yoke, I think of an egg. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus, what are you talking about? So if you don't know what a yoke is, it's pretty interesting. It's spelled differently. So if you rely on spell check like I do, it won't underline it, because yoke Y-O-K-E is different than Y-O-L-K, which is yolk, which is what an egg is. In the Bible, there's a yolk, which is this, very different. A yolk is a very simple but really interesting ancient farming device. It's this wooden casing or tool between these two oxen. And what a yoke would do, it would bind two oxen together. And it would literally distribute the power between the two oxen. So it would transfer power from one ox to the other so that it could accomplish its work. But it would bind them together. You couldn't like split the two oxen off in two different directions. It binds them to one another. Jesus says to take my yoke upon you. He's saying, bind yourself to me. And it's not, he's not saying, I'm going to force my yoke on you. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's optional. Jesus is not forcing you to be bound to him, but he's saying, be bound to me. And then he says, learn from me. Let's talk about that for a little bit. To learn from him. I went through 12 years of school for high school and middle school, elementary school. I couldn't just skip a bunch of grades. Well, some people do, but you usually don't see very many kindergartners graduating with their diploma. It's something that takes time. It's something that you have to learn and acquire. Jesus is saying, be bound to me and learn from me. It's not an instant comprehensive understanding. It's something that takes time. And then he also sets up who the authority is. We learn from him. We go at his pace. Jesus, Christianity, is not an insurance company. Something that you can just sign up for, put money in, and then call when there's a problem. That's not who Christ is. Christ we are yoked to, and we are learning from him. It's not when those oxen don't really take a break from each other. I mean, while they're together, they're there. When we're yoked with Christ, we're with him all the time, and we're learning from him all the time, and that's what he desires. Jesus is wanting to teach you right now. At this very moment, he's trying to teach me. And as Christians, we're yoked to him, and we need to learn from him all the time and look to him for knowledge and understanding. So what an awesome teacher, though, because look at this. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What an awesome teacher we have. Forgot to mention it here in this last part. He says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's a safe teacher. Have you ever been around someone that's really rude or ever had a teacher that was really prideful or you couldn't ask questions or who was just mean on your tests? I mean, I've had, throughout my life, there were some teachers, I'm just glad that class is done. Jesus is a safe teacher. He is someone that is gentle. He's patient. He's lowly of heart. He's not going to tear you down in a mean, rude, violent way. He's going to grow you and guide you, but he's safe. That's important for us to remember as we take our burdens, which are sensitive, which we've been carrying for a long time. We need to go somewhere safe, and Christ is the safest place to be. So let's talk then about this last part here. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That sounds awesome. But we have to remember that there is a yoke and that there is a burden. It's easy and it's light, but that there is a binding to Christ. There is a burden that we carry, but it's doable. It's light and it's easy. You and I, as human beings, or just human beings in general, have this really strange capability of making something simple really, really complicated. We're really good at that. Jesus says, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. So my challenge for each one of us is to come to Christ, be yoked to him, learn from him, and find the rest that our souls desire. Let go of your burdens and let God guide you to the rest that's with him. Let go of whatever you've been carrying, whatever you still carry. Let go of it and let God be God in your life. If there's anything you want to let go of today and let God bring you into his kingdom through baptism, please come forward this morning while we stand and sing.